The other day, a friend of mine gave me a call who I haven't heard from in some time. And he mentioned to me that after some time of praying and seeking God's face, that he was going to leave the ministry. I was taken back. I was sad because I believe he was making a mistake. On further thinking, I realized that I made a mistake. I didn't reach out to him. I didn't encourage him. I didn't warn him of the pitfalls of ministry, of how difficult it is. You see, those who are listening to me now, and if you don't know me, you may come to the conclusion that as a pastor that I have a large denomination. And not only am I part of a large denomination, but I pastor a large church. And the truth of the matter is, my denomination is large. I think there is about 3.5 million Methodist AMEs throughout the globe. But my church is small, smaller number. And at times I struggle with it. At times it's like, God, why can't we grow? Why can't we have more people? The vision is so big. I wanna do more. I wanna go places. I really wanna make a difference. And at the other times, it's like, Lord, I just thank you that someone came. Every week we've been blessed that there's a new face and there's a fresh word, and you know we do our best. But I would be lying to you if it was easy. So when my friend told me that he was no longer going to go through this desert, he was just going to stop and see what else the Lord has for him. I respected his decision. I tried to change his mind. And I left it as that. I'm not going to lie, for a few days after, my heart was hurting. I felt sad. I felt sad that somebody who was so gifted and so talented was not going to be where I believe God called him to be. I got sad because my friend is one of the nicest people I've met in the ministry, a sincere man of God. I've always enjoyed his teaching, his prayers, how he carried himself. And don't get me wrong, he's not walking back into the world. He's not saying God is not real, button fire on Jesus. No, it's nothing like that. He just feels that at this time, he has to go in another direction. His story reminds me of an account in the Bible that I've held on to throughout the years. When I met my mentor, Joshua, son of Nun, there was a pivotal point in his life that has shaped my life to this day. And I found myself running back into the Word, running back to that place, and just really, really grabbing strength and just being reminded once again of what we're up against. In Joshua chapter 24, a scene is painted. He's an older man now. The Lord has told him that his days on earth are numbered, and that he will be going home to heaven. So Joshua gathers the people to come to him. to meet him and that he can speak over them and speak into them. And almost immediately in the first 13 verses in Joshua 24, he challenged them. It's a time of contemplation. Joshua begins by remarking them to remember what God has brought them to. Remember where they are and remember where they came from and how much God has done for them. He tells them about you guys were slaves in Egypt and God sent Moses and Aaron and Pharaoh wanted to kill you in the parting of the Red Sea. He reminds them that when they got over to the promised land that the inhabitants of the land wanted to kill them. And he lists many nations, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites. He lists about three or four, five nations that tried to kill them, but they were unable to. He also reminds them, he says, contemplate on the power of God and how God moves so mightily in their lives. Why? Because God chose them. God called them to be his own. He redeemed them. He delivered them from Egypt. And as I'm reading this account again, I'm remembering that God never promised Wayne Anthony Lewis that ministry was going to be easy. He never promised me a big church and a big salary and all of these wonderful things. He never promised me that. He asked me to go, and I said, yes, sir. I gave you my life. Joshua reminds them of all of these things. And in the 15th verse, he says this, and if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Aramites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That moves my heart because it reminds me that I made a commitment that I'm going to serve God regardless. It will never be about hips, lips, or chips. It will never be about things and tings. It will always be about God. I will always do my level best to remain faithful to him in the ministry that he has called me to do. I will always trust him, even when I can't trace his hand. See, it was a time of confrontation for Joshua. And we need that sometimes. You know, there are times in our lives where we have to take an honest assessment of where we are and what we have done and where we want to go. And we have to look at our lives and we have to say, you know what? No, you've been lazy. Speaking to myself. Now, Wayne, you've been lazy. You've been slack. You didn't do your level best. You didn't keep your word. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. You have to be honest with yourself. You have to rebuke yourself. You got to challenge yourself. You got to be honest with yourself. And when I'm honest with myself, I look at the ministry and I say, yes, it's hard, but where am I going to go? I don't play the lottery and I don't gamble. I don't do those things. And I've never done those things, even when I wasn't saved. I can get into that another time. But even if a family member would win the lottery, I mean the mega jackpot, and if they would bless my family with $80 million, say, here you go, it's yours, tax-free, enjoy the rest of your life, I would still be a pastor. I would still be a shepherd. I would still have a church. Yeah, wouldn't be renting anymore. It would be nice. But I would still be serving the community, finding a way to reach people for Jesus. Why? Because that's what God has called me to do. You see, Joshua commands the people. His commandment was like a threefold command. They were commanded to fear God, to clean up their lives by putting away other gods, and they were to serve the Lord. He puts this right in front of them. He says, if it seems evil for you to serve God, well, then go back and serve the gods of your father, the gods of the Aramites. He said, remember whose land that you're in. Because, see, God did something amazing for them. He brought them over and then he cleared out the inhabitants of the land so they could have it. That's the kind of God that we serve. But he said, if it seems evil for you to do what God says, to serve him, to trust him, to love him, to obey him, then go back to the other gods that are on the other side of the river. But then he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He declares a statement that he is not going anywhere. He can't go anywhere. He challenges the people to choose who they would serve and to get about it. Go and do it. Serve God. If you're going to serve him, serve him. My friend's words really spoke to me because it was almost like, Wayne, it's time for you to serve him. It's time for you to get about your father's business. Don't concern yourself about the numbers because you have to be faithful. When Jesus comes, I want him to find me serving him. I don't want him to find me on a vacation, on a beach, enjoying the sun and the sand. I want him to find me serving him in the capacity that he expects me to be. I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. For you, what do you want to be caught doing? I want to encourage you, and this is from my heart. Life is not easy. Life is not easy in anything that you do. There are challenges. There are difficult days. There are difficult moments. There are seasons where things don't work out the way that you would hope it to work out. But don't give up. Trust God. If I have learned one thing, I have honestly learned that God can be trusted. Honestly, I've seen him do miracles for me, for my family. I've seen him open up doors that were impossible to open. I've had experiences. I've seen he has saved my life. He has healed my body. He has done so many things for me. And I don't deserve not even one of them. But I trust him. I want to encourage you. Because it's time to make up your mind. If you're going to serve God, serve him. But be like Joshua. Declare it not only for yourself, but declare it for your family. Declare it for everyone that you have authority over. I quote, and if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Aramites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I choose today that my family and I will serve God. We won't give up the fight because it's difficult. We will lick our wounds. We will cry out for mercy. We will seek God for grace and guidance. But we will stay the course. As long as he's able. As long as he's willing. And for as long as I can. Finally, I would like you to ask you a favor today, those of you who are listening. If you can just send up a prayer for pastors and their families, that God would bless them and strengthen them that they too could make up their mind and stay the course and serve God. Hey, God bless you. Bye for now.